Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
No, I'll let you start. You're actually better at the start. I was who starts a conversation like that anyway?
I think that's a great start. I'm not changing anything.
But you never
staying in.
Ah, no, you do a proper one.
And if you're fairness, because if you walked into a room and went,
I know, but
everybody would say, oh, we're off to a flying start here. That's a great, he's obviously in good form.
No, if you went into a room and went, everyone goes, what the fuck is wrong with you? And they'd be
right
too. Yeah, yeah.
Did you bang your toe or something?
What? Yeah.
No, just saying.
I might like a new greeting.
Imagine picking up the phone.
Yeah.
Is that PJ?
PJ speaking. Yeah, it's a great thing, isn't it? Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Walking into a shop,
it's a lot less boring than
can
just
hello.
Can
I help you there, sir? I would like a sandwich. It is. It's actually...
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, it sets you up a little bit. It's actually sounds kind of posh in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It makes you come across as very confident and,
we should
control.
Both do it in meetings or whenever we're meeting people. Clint will be introducing us. This is PJ. nice to meet you. And this is Jim.
I like it.
Pretty good one,
It does make you sound, for some reason, when you're doing it, I see some sort of like posh English lordy type.
Yeah, there is that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that you'd go, it's a great pleasure to meet you. I'm sure it is.
And who
I
are
am
you?
A very famous person.
And who might you be, little man? So nice to meet you.
That's a winner.
I see you wearing shoes. Does everyone in your village wear shoes? Congratulations.
Yeah.
Your village, yes. Do you tie them yourselves? Or are they slip-ons, as they call them? All that sort of stuff.
And that's got to be the way forward
for
you.
Yeah, it'd be great,
That could become your catchphrase. Not that you're stuck for a catchphrase.
At least
that's all you'd need now. If that became your catchphrase every feckin' time you were on a bus or anywhere. PJ!
Thank you, lads. Imagine you have people just do the noise. Come on,
don't have to.
Don't be a bollocks. Well, I'm in the petrol station buying bread. Do the fucking noise. Everyone, what are you doing?
That man's over there. Yeah. He's being attacked.
Yeah,
attacked.
Yeah, it's all of that sort of great stuff.
Brilliant.
But greetings. It's actually gas, though. We have so many ways of greeting people in this country. You know, how are you? All right, what's story? The crack.
That's true, actually.
So
fair.
Many different ways. Like, we communicate and no one ever says hello. You know, hello is very formal. You know,
actually, hello would be.
Very formal.
You're right. That unless you were like at a job interview or.
Hello has gone into the same place as good afternoon. It's up there now, you know.
Yeah.
Like, no one would say good afternoon unless they were literally learning English. It's one of those things, you know.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, my name is PJ. You just wouldn't do it.
The only thing about it is if that ever did become part of the normal language.
Yeah.
Fucking tough one to spell.
Wouldn't you?
If you were writing novels in the future, he greeted him from the door.
Sherlock Holmes walked in. He said with a long drawl.
But you're right, the Irish have we don't really need hello.
No.
There's way too, and mind you, I suppose.
Or goodbye.
If you didn't, that's what makes it difficult. If you don't, if you're learning English as a foreign language or something, and you're expecting that people, when they meet you, say hello, because that's supposed to be the greeting.
Yes,
and then a lad walks up to you and goes, story.
Yeah, story.
And you're like, I don't know what to say.
Story. Okay, I was walking down the street and, he just goes into a...
Yes, crack.
Yeah, the crack.
Where?
Yeah.
Is it...
Or even, like, you know when you're in the country and they come up to you and go, well?
Well?
You're like, well, what? Well? Huh?
You can do anything, really, by way of a greeting.
And I love the way when you're in, you know, when you meet farmer folk and all, when it used to be racing, and some of the old farmers are racing. Farmer folk, yeah. And
you make them sound like some sort of mythical thing.
Oh, they
like,
are.
Like the leprechauns and fairies and all. Oh, I tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
I remember a story about the farmer folk.
Oh, yeah, but they are like that. They're sort of lads who, when they leave the farm, they take off their work pants and boots and put on slip-on shoes and tracksuits. And they're like, you know, huh? And you're fucking, what? How the fuck are you anyway, huh? You know, you don't mind them lads, yeah. Country lads that curse all the time. How the fuck are you anyway? Huh? The fuck says you, huh? They answer for you. How are you anyway, huh? That's a fucking terrible, says you. I know, I can see it in your face, you cunt. So what about us? What about us?
I'll tell you something, I have noticed, right? Yeah. Is I think you might be onto something, because I think it could be a different language. Like an actual different language. Because I notice from
being... With the country folk.
Yeah. I notice from being around sometimes, and they're very nice people. And it's like, you know, you could say hello and how are things and all grand. It's all good. But I mean, and then you see them talking to each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and they seem to
a different gear happens.
And they seem to have plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
But they, you know, you're in their company, and they, you can't. I mean, it's literally nothing. Once you get past the sort of like, geez, it's chilly, isn't it? Yeah. Busy yourself, are you?
And then they see another one of their own. Hold on, come on over here. This fella's doing me head in.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, I never know what they're talking about.
No, you never do. It's like, it's the adult.
And it's like they don't want you to know what they're talking about.
The adult
they don't
version.
Let you in.
Yeah, it's the adult version of spelling out the words so you don't get it, you know? Yeah. Like when your man's dad would be there. Do you want to go up STAIRS for a bit of SEX? Will I send them off to the SC Hell Spell Cinema, love?
It is. It's weird. It's like they talk about stuff and... Especially, you know, even if it's GAA stuff or whatever, like, it's almost like they don't want to let you in on it.
Yeah, of course,
it's
yeah.
It's weird. And the other thing as well is, there's a lad up airway, it's fucking brilliant, right? And he does this thing where he won't finish a sentence.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not, like, it's just, that's his way. So he'll be talking about it and you go, I went into him and I said, you know, like, and literally finishes there.
Yeah.
You know, and then he turned around and he I mean, like... You know, he... You know?
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, you're only just saying certain words.
And he's like,
what am I supposed to make out of that?
What more can I say? You know what I'm on about. You're like,
he leaves it hanging there at just... So, as you know, like, down and said to him, like, you know...
What the fuck? Are you having a stroke or did you eat a load of magic mushrooms or what's going on? Yeah. I know. It's gas, the patterns of speech that some people develop.
But if he's talking
you know?
To somebody else.
It's
like, oh, shit.
Yeah, but your man would
know. Do you know? Yeah. What do you tell me?
And the other fella be there, I know, yeah. Jim doesn't know. No, he knows fuck. You know, it's And like, it's not just with greetings, it's with goodbyes as well. You know the way we have a real weird way of saying goodbye that a lot of people would think is rude. So you'd be chatting away and then you just go, right, go on. Fuck off, anyway. So I'll see you next time. I'll see you soon. Yeah. I let you go. Basically, they're like, I don't need to go on you. Go on, so I let you go. You head off there now. You just go.
There's nothing better than an urged goodbye. As in, they've no intention of leaving, but you want them out of there.
Yeah.
Listen, I won't hold you. Oh, no, sure, I've nothing to be doing. Nah, sure, look, I won't be holding you anyway. We'll leave it there.
That's the end of that.
Yeah, but I'm free all day.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have things to be doing.
Enjoy it. I'm off, and anyhow. And you know the way, when we've the most unique way of saying thank you I've ever seen in my life. Do you ever buy someone a pint, and you come down to the table, and you give them the pint, and they look at you, and they go... Oh, what are you doing that for? You fucking idiot, you.
That's yeah.
Ah, you didn't have to do that. Jesus Christ.
Or worse.
I was going home.
That's the one.
Now I have to have five.
You put a pint down in front of somebody and they go, you're some bollocks.
I see what you did
you're
there.
You're some bollocks.
Oh, you crafty bastard, you. I'll get you back. I'll get you back for that. You sneaky bollocks. Yeah, you think I can't? If I had seen you doing that, I'd have snuck up when you were in the toilet and paid for 2 weeks' worth of booze.
Or people that, like, they genuinely look like you've insulted them or it's you put the point down and they just put their head in their hands.
Yeah, oh, mother of Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, right. It's okay, I'll tell the wife. She said if I had another pint, she was going to leave me. But sure, it's worth it. I can't turn it down, you know.
Yeah,
I can't
turn
it down. What can you do?
The best
what
lads are do? Those lads in bars where that do the... do you want a pint, Dave? No. I'm going home. Sure, I'm going home. Dinner's on for me there. Give us two, Joe. It's the same sentence.
Yeah.
Just said, no, Jesus, no. Sure, I have to go home. It's waiting for me there. She was on to me there, yeah. Give us two, Joe, when you get a chance.
I thought you're not drinking. I'm not.
No, I'm just, you know what I mean? I don't want to get into it.
Yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing? Wearing a wire or what's wrong? Mind your fucking business, yeah? Anyway, what was I saying? I know, yeah.
We're a fantastic bunch for that.
Yeah, and then women will say, men are simple. Are you joking? It's a political minefield. You can't say hello. You can't say goodbye. You can't say good afternoon.
You can't do something nice for somebody.
You can't do something nice for somebody. And God forbid you go in and stand beside someone in the urinals. That's a whole other kettle of piss. Literally. That's all the amount of politics that goes on in those.
Yeah, and what they'll say about you when they leave, if you've been in there, if you stand beside them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, no, much MP, James. Yeah.
See, I'm
nearly getting into me trousers.
Taking this flu out right next to me. I know, it's a fucking jacks. Like, I don't care, I was here first. You wait or you go in the sink. That's the way it is.
Because that's the gas thing. You know the way that there's that old kind of trope of the idea that women go to toilets in groups or
whatever.
What I mean? They all go together or whatever. But like, would a men go out of their way not to be in a toilet when another man is in there?
Out of your way?
Literally, you would sit there bursting, waiting for a lad to come back so that you could go.
So you could go. Like, I was in the toilet there going to the Dubs match the other night, you know.
Yeah.
And there was four urinals in a row. And I was at one end, and there was a fella at the other end. And the fella came in and he knew he had to pick one of us. And he just went, no, just stood there and waited for one of us to finish.
Exactly.
Two spare ones.
Checked out whether the cubicle was free.
He pushed us.
I'll just have to wait then.
I'll have to wait. Have to wait. No, you can do.
Yeah.
And
they think it's easy being a man.
And like you said, the idea of lads going to the toilet together. Imagine like in the pub. Right, I'm going for a shite. Jim, you coming? What? Are you coming in? He was like going, are you serious? Yeah, just, you know.
Oh my God, yeah.
The pissy seats. Could you just hold me up when I'm doing it?
Or if you said, Jesus, just need in for a slash. And a lad went, ah, sure, I'll come with you.
I'll come with you.
You'd be like, what the f?
You'd be like,
what do you mean?
What are you going to do?
Is this some sort of gag? Is there a fucking camera or something?
Yeah, yeah. Why are you afraid of the fella that's in the pub with us? You don't want to be left in your own with him. What's going on?
It's a minefield,
weirdos,
you see.
Weirdos.
You think you have it tough. Right, let's give you a few of the best bits from during the week. It was a great week. We did a lot of good crack during the week on Morning Glory. Talking about one of the things that's very, very close to the great PJ Gallagher's heart. We were talking about dogs, but in a very specific role. I mean, that we've said for many years about how useful and fabulous dogs can be.
Yes.
But I mean, they're borderline ventriloquists and everything now.
They really are. It's gone. They can literally do anything. And this story will prove it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you'll have a chance to hear that as well. Also, the F word came up. And I don't mean PJ let a few of them slip.
No.
To be honest with you.
I've done that.
That wouldn't even be a story anymore.
Not anymore. Well, although they did. Remember, I did say the F word on the radio one time.
Yeah.
And the newspapers went back to say, what word I apologise for saying.
And it was the wrong swear word.
They picked bastard, which I say every day.
But it turns out that once again you're a trendsetter. Because once again it seems like the F word is now, it doesn't even have any shock value anymore. It's becoming commonplace.
It's no big deal.
Yeah. So you won't even say it now because everybody's using it.
Yeah, sure.
You have to pick a different swear word.
Pick a different word. I have to make up my own. You know what I mean? Fritting. Ah, look at you, you fritting agent. But you'll hear it's actually been ruled as not being the big deal anymore.
Exactly, yeah. That also, again, we mentioned it at the time we were talking about it, the fact that we're very safe in here because we have literally a bona fide lifesaver in our midst in the great PJ Gallagher, a man well covered in the art of CPR, which apparently lots of people aren't.
At least.
I tell you something, we found out the ramifications of that.
Yeah, basically means if anything happens to Jim, we're in trouble. Yeah.
So you get to hear that again. And also, of course, again, something very close to PJ's heart, the old ruggedy ball.
Ah,
you love an odd-shaped ball, don't you?
I do. As an owner of one myself, I absolutely do. And this was my, without doubt, my favourite story of the whole week.
So if you happen to be listening to this, maybe after the rugby has happened or just before it starts or whatever over the weekend.
Yeah.
Anyway, enjoy. And we'll talk to you the other side.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Dogs can do anything. And believe it or not, Garda dogs will be, they're going to get body cams in a new initiative that's expected to sort of be very, very useful in hostage-taking situations, stakeout situations, but also the potential to send dogs undercover. If you can believe it or not.
An undercover dog.
They reckon that certain elements of criminal society would not, if the dog is wearing a camera, you know, that they wouldn't be expected, they wouldn't expect it to be, they're being monitored by, you know, an animal as such. And they reckon
What do they think they would expect? Well, so like you see a dog.
People and listening devices and, you know.
You see a dog with a camera and what, you turn around and you say, I know, he's probably just a tourist. Probably just, yeah, doesn't mean take a photograph. What, like?
Your dog with a Polaroid, yeah. Sorry, lads, could you just move out of the shot, please?
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't do. You wouldn't take this from me. Yeah, no, just in front of the, like, in front of the spire here. You wouldn't just take it. I'll raise this leg. Yeah,
just, it's just me and the litter out for a day, you know. No, but they wear, I guess, like a hidden camera sort of in the collar or something. I'm not really sure how they go about it, but yeah, they're saying that the spy in the collar, you know, give them advantage for surveillance, and that national security situations, dogs could go in undercover, and they obviously can't be clearly identified as Garda, you know, and they're not required to show you ID if asked or anything like that.
So what do they go in undercover as?
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't thought. A guide dog, maybe. Maybe they dress up as a guide dog.
That's, yeah, so they put on the glasses and everything.
St. Bernard disguised as a Labrador. Or an Alsatian.
It's just the idea of saying undercover.
I know, it's like, brilliant, isn't it? Yeah,
it's kind of like, sorry, before you say anything about the drugs deal, right? Did you hear that bush barking there a second ago?
Barking? No.
I could have sworn that bush over there, that hedge. Could have sworn it was barking.
I love it. Like, you imagine two lads doing a drug deal. And then there's, hey, that dog right next to us. Don't mind him. He's only sniffing a poo. And the dog's like, Am I really? Wow. You just do what you do. Although, like, the thing is, if the dog is sent in to, like, you know, sort of do surveillance, how do you get any sense out of him, you know?
Yeah.
Dog goes in. The walks around, has a listen.
What did they say?
Comes back in and goes, right, what's going on? No. Where are they meeting? No.
Yeah.
Did you see the drugs?
I saw a squirrel.
No, did you? Where's the drugs? Did you see the drugs?
They have biscuits. Lemon puffs.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I suppose you would have to rely heavily on the photographic evidence.
Yeah, you really would, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not like they're going to, you know, Your Honour, I'd like to call our next witness, Fido, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Fido, please take to the stand. Fido, no, this is not a bad good time to do my poo.
Do you see the man who you said, you know, committed the crime in the court?
Yeah, can you point out the man who committed the crime? No, that's a man with a packet of crisps. Can you point out the man in the drug deal?
I mean, to be fair, look, dogs, brilliant. They've been used in all sorts, with the customs guys and everything, brilliant.
Yeah,
it's just that phrase.
Garda dogs.
Undercover is just the part that's kind of weird to get your head around, you know. Now, listen, just act like a normal dog, right?
Yeah. Just, no worries, I got it, yeah. Stop checking tax and insurance. You know the way the dogs are, you know, the dog jumping up, checking all the tax and insurance and checkpoints. What's he doing? Ah, he likes the look of the car. He likes blue cars, you know. Ratting everybody out,
yeah. I mean, I suppose that you could. There's also, I mean, there's no end to the potential for this. This could be huge. I mean, if they do kind of, you know, go full undercover, I mean, I don't know whether cattle rustling is still a thing. But you could send them in as a cow.
Yeah, imagine going in undercover. Yeah.
Oh, is that really small cow over there?
Yeah, going in working as a sheep dog on some like cross-border diesel smuggling farm.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, keeping an eye on things for years and then giving all the evidence, you know. Yeah.
There's a lot of potential in this.
Doggy Brasco. You know, be like Doggy Brasco. Make a great movie.
There's bound to have been a dog detective.
Was there, like, you know, on TV or something?
Surely there must have been. K9, that was right. Yeah, that was the robotic dog.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was an actual dog.
Yeah, K9.
There was a K9 in Doctor Who, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Well, there's been lots of famous dogs. Yeah, K9 was with James Belushi, and then there was a... I don't know, dogs don't really get...
Would Scooby-Doo qualify? Yeah. And in fairness, I mean, he could nearly talk.
Imagine. Yeah. Got that Garda Shaggy. Sergeant Shaggy and Scooby-Doo are now going to give testimony for the kidnapping trial.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
If you are somebody who's a regular listener to the show, you know, of course, that both Clint and myself, we have the luxury, I suppose you would call it, of knowing that we're always safe.
Yes.
We're always safe because we have... a trained lifesaver in our midst.
Oh my God.
The great PJ Gallagher, of course, among the many hats he wears, the many talents he has, the many strings to his bow, he is, of course, a former RNLI member.
You are.
He is a lifesaver,
the
man
most passive aggressive piss taker I have ever met.
Person who's always willing to put his own life in jeopardy to save another.
No, I'm not.
Look, man, I'm doing me. And anyway,
tell you something, if you fall down now, you're lying there.
Yeah. But you are a trained lifesaver. And the other thing as well, I just point out, and as his colleagues will testify, not only a trained lifesaver, but also somebody who takes hygiene very seriously, as the lads who had to wait for him to dry his hands before he went out to save somebody who was at high risk on the high seas, he had to make sure he dried his hands properly. So
I was trying not to panic.
Lucky. Clint and myself were very lucky to have that level of security.
It was my first ever call and I was trying not to panic. So, and I need to go to the toilet. And then they all were standing there waiting to get onto the boat to go out. And they, all they heard was... I just heard a voice going, is he drying his hands? And then I just heard another voice going, will you come on? You know.
There's somebody in the sea.
Yeah, this is the real thing, PJ.
So what life... You have CPR, don't you?
Yes, I do.
There you go, you see.
Yeah, but I like it. Now, this is the thing.
I rest my elaborate case.
Well, this is not only elaborated, but this, I'm telling you, I'm gonna elaborate. Only half the people around us, half of grown-up adults, apparently know how to do CPR, which is kind of scary when you think about it. So basically, you have a heart attack, you could survive. You have a 50-50 chance of making it. Less if I'm around. You know, because only half of us know how to do it. You know how to do it, right?
No, I don't, you see.
Oh, you don't
I
know how to do it.
I am part of that other
oh,
half.
Oh, I thought you did.
I don't know how to do CPR. And to be honest with you, it's probably best that in this situation that it is you who knows.
Why is that now? Because...
Well, because...
I suppose it's better. I suppose you're more likely to have a heart attack being old and all.
But also the fact that I'm probably... At least if you were on a scene anywhere... And CPR was required, you'd bail straight in.
I wouldn't.
Oh, you wouldn't?
No, I'd be there. Like, what happened? No, I wouldn't.
Because I was going to say, I would have to weigh up the general. Like, I mean, I wouldn't do it if it was going to be slightly embarrassing for myself. Well, like, if there was a crowd.
Well, no, if there's some, like, you know what I mean? What if he dies and I'm pressing? They'd be going, you're after killing him. I'd be there. No, I didn't.
That's true. It's a very litigious world.
Sure,
we're
he
in.
Looks like he was going to come out of that. He was breathing and then you started pressing his chest. The next thing, you're after killing him. I didn't kill him. Right. I tried to save him. It was looked like you were a bit heavy now. I'd be asking, you know. I'd be
like, right. And plus the fact, I mean, if you were giving CPR, like, that's part of that is mouth to mouth, isn't it?
No, they don't. Thankfully, you don't have
that
to do
gone
that anymore.
Now?
Ah,
grand,
no.
Okay.
Well,
I might be slightly more inclined.
Yeah, no, you don't do that anymore.
If a lad looks like he's just wolfed down, like, I don't know, cheese and onion sandwiches or something, I'm not going there.
I know what Jim eats for dinner. If he fell down there gurgling, I'd be there, you're not going to make it. What do you want me to tell Yvonne? Okay, tell her you love her and help. No, it's too late for help, Jim. Yeah. You're not going to make it.
Let it go, Jim. Let it go. It's easier not to resist.
Here, I'm going to record you dying. What do you want to say to the sons? Say it there into the phone, Jim.
Help me.
Jim, it's too late for that.
They're not, by the time they get that message, they're not going to make it.
Call the ambulance.
Don't worry about the ambulance, Jim. They're helping old ones.
Well, that's very reassuring to know. My life in safe hands.
You're not going to make it, Jim. I'm out. I have to go home. I have an appointment at 2:30.
I'm out with the scooter club.
Sorry, Jim. I'm only after putting my helmet on. I'm not kissing your face.
So that's not a part of it now. They're trying to encourage more people to learn.
They are, yeah. Everyone should learn. The courses are free, of course. So you can do the courses for free. I don't know who's running them. I think the Red Cross and... The Maltese Vulcans, or whatever they call them, they all do it. And the
Maltese Falcons.
Yeah.
That would be, if honest to God, if there was a life-saving group called the Maltese Falcons, I would be so there, buddy.
I know. Well, what there is a Maltese...
Stand back. I'm a Maltese Falcon.
Is there a doctor on this plane? No, but there is a Maltese Falcon. That's not helpful.
Oh.
I think you'll find it is.
Yeah, I think you... Have you ever seen these people dance around people and make... And also, it is the thing of who's willing. I know a fella who's a trained paramedic.
Mm.
And he was on a plane and that happened. They says, you know, someone was struggling and they says, is there anyone on the plane with medical experience or whatever? And his missus went to put up her hand and he goes, don't you dare, I'm on me holidays.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Yeah, come here. If I told you to F off now, right?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time by a long stretch.
Exactly. My point, exactly.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm used to you now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, something
your foul and abusive language and your potty mouth.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Potty mouth.
Yeah, potty mouth. Yeah. I think that's not a bad description, to be honest, but... in the workplace, you know, you're not supposed to say these words. Or we've always been told you should never say these words to people, you know. But a judge, there's been a case, a judge has ruled that the F word, it just no longer has the shock value or significance that it used to have, right? So there's been a case where this, a Judge Andrew Gumbiti Zimuto, I think his name is, over the water.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, but he's made this ruling. So there was a case, a woman, her boss... she had a row with her boss in work, and he sacked her, and she says, I'm going to sue or whatever. And he says, I don't give a fart, but he didn't say fart.
Gotcha.
He says, I don't give a fart what you do. Do whatever the fart you want, you know?
Oh, right, so and he was dropping the F-bombs left, right and centre.
And she was like, oh, we'll see about that. And he goes, yeah, go fart off, get out, you know, go do whatever the fart you want, you fart nail arse, yeah. You know, gave her all that. And then she was like, right.
You really throw yourself into the part, don't you?
Oh, yeah,
you really
do. I want people to get there.
You know you'd had an acting background.
And she said, call me a fart again, see what happens. He goes, fart. You're a big farting farter. Your big smell of fart off. Well, no, he didn't.
No, because that one wouldn't work.
That one doesn't work.
You get the gist. Yeah.
There was a row. Right?
I gotcha.
There was a row. And 4-letter expletives were used. So she said, not only was I let go, I was humiliated and belittled in front of people. And it's like workplace harassment, seen as though...
Because of the language.
Judge goes, no, that doesn't count. He says it absolutely... he says it's very commonplace. It doesn't carry the shock value it may have done in another time and place. Nowadays, these are things that just happen. These are things people just say. And in his view... something that may have been said or may not have been said, and people saying F this and go fart your trousers or go fart off, or I don't care what bunch of farters you come back here with, I'm not farting. So apparently bad language can't get you in trouble in the workplace.
Well, to be honest with you, it's nice to see somebody pushing back a bit.
Yeah.
Because we're always saying
the amount of
times that things have gotten, it just gets ridiculous. It's becoming, you can't say anything. People take an offence off anything. They get offended by things that were not even intended for them, and so it's just
on other people's behalf.
It really grinds my gears, that whole sort of stuff about. I don't mind if you do make a mistake and you offend somebody and you apologise and they go, oh, it's okay, you didn't know, but you know next time or whatever. Grand, I can live with all of that.
Oh yeah,
right. But I'm just saying, it's nice sometimes to have somebody turn around and go, do you know something? You're just too easily offended. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
Fart I like off. That. Yeah. My God, we worked in some environments.
I know. I was just about to say, the only reason I wouldn't agree with you is because we could have got a few quid a few years ago.
Well, that's true.
We were working with a manager who called us the most outrageous names under the sun constantly. One point he kicked the door open, walked in.
He did say it with love.
Yeah, he kicked the door open, walked in, looked at us and says, I forgot what I wanted, you perverts, and just walked out again.
He called us stuff that, now, oh my God, that would be, not by us, but even people on our behalf.
Would be offended,
Oh my God, they would go bananas.
When I think of the things he called me, stick to one thing, he called me an idiot. He told me, I'm trying to think
of the more
inaccurate ones.
My favourite was Gloria.
Yeah, when he called me into his office and says, you look like Gloria, it ain't half hot, mum. You know, like he was accusing me of dressing like a...
Yeah, that's because you were wearing one of your shorts, to be fair.
I know, but like he basically said I was a cross-dressing soldier from the 1970s. Clint actually agrees with right now.
And then there was also that, remember that brilliant analogy when he was explaining, thankfully you weren't in the room to hear it, but there was that brilliant analogy of the plane, remember that? When he was trying to explain the way that...
How he described how the show works.
Yeah, yeah, and people's roles within it.
Yeah, so
the producer was like the air traffic controller, big picture stuff, like big view stuff or whatever. And he said, Jim, the pilot, literally from 6 to 10, you kind of get us up there, you get us to our destination, blah, blah, blah. He said you were the lad who was down the back handing out the peanuts.
Yeah.
And showing your willy to the air hostess.
That's outrageous, You know,
that was That was your boss.
Yeah, that was my boss. And by the way, I've never been in a circumstance like that in my life. You
it
know,
it does sound weirdly accurate.
It does, Jim McCabe. Jim McCabe. That's outrageous.
But I know, so, I mean, if we were easily offended like that, yeah. I mean, the amount of things listeners call us for.
He called me a raging lunatic. He called me Tits McGee. He called me.
That's just because he couldn't think of your name at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it was.
Here, Tits McGee, get in here. He says to me one day. So,
in fairness, it's good now that the judge has stood up for
fat head, football face. I'm trying to think of all the other things he called me. Like, I have to say.
God, do I miss that man.
I miss him at all. He was great.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There's been loads of scandal about music in the Six Nations over the last 2 days.
It's not more Ireland's Call stuff, is it?
No.
Get over it, people. It's just a song.
It's not. It's brutal. It's hogwash. So now there's an ex-Scotland coach and he's calling for the national anthem, the Flower of Scotland, to be axed. He's saying it's just a totally, it's an immature national anthem. He says it's a song that's not about the country. It's a song about another country because it's about beating England in a battle. And that he says it's time that Scotland grew up and realised that they should have a song that's more focused on their own instead of something that's anti-English, you know.
So, and this is a Scottish bloke saying this?
Yeah, an ex-rugby coach. Yeah, Teffler, yeah.
He sounds
like a teapot himself.
And Flower of Scotland is, that's pretty iconic stuff.
I'd say one of the better songs, to be honest with you. Although now, you see, if you have Stand By Your Man for Ireland.
Is that what it's about? It's about, a battle, the English, is it?
Yeah.
I genuinely thought it was about a flower.
I thought it was about a nettle.
Yeah.
I thought it was
literally like, you know, like an emblematic thing, you know, like the Flower of Scotland that was...
Yeah, it's
about a battle.
No, it's about a battle.
I really should listen to the lyrics more.
So now they need to change it. Well, no, they don't. But it's been suggested they change it, you know.
And what, write a new one?
Well, or
Scotland's version of Ireland's Call.
Yeah, like you said yesterday.
Scotland. They took the same anthem, right? And they just replaced the country name for all of them.
Wales wouldn't be able to use their name. They'd have to go Swansea. Swansea. Yeah, but like maybe they could use the Proclaimers, you know, a band from there, like,
and they would run 500 yards and they would run 500 more, you know, just to see that ball
going through that post, you know, it'd be something like that, you know.
That's not bad.
Kevin wears me trousers. They could do that. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Kevin wears me trousers. That'd be a great national anthem.
That's very good, yeah. Or maybe they could do that one.
The game is over, we have won. Kevin wears me trousers. Yeah.
There's a ball loose
around this house.
Oh my. I don't see. The Scots are a very proud nation. I don't see them going for this at all.
No, neither do I. And then
similar to the Welsh, actually.
And the Welsh.
They love their singing.
They've been playing Delilah. You know the song Delilah, Tom Jones?
Yeah.
In there, not as a national anthem or anything, obviously, but they've been pumping it out in the at the games for years and years now.
Like the way we do Fields of Athenry and everything.
Exactly like that. But now, they're not
Delilah, though.
Yeah, I know. They're not going to do it anymore now because they're saying it's like it's misogynistic and it's about violence and they're...
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought Delilah was a love song. It was... Because it's so jolly.
Well, it sort of is.
My Delilah.
It's kind of unrequited love.
I didn't realise it's about a murder. Like, it's
what
actually...
What do you mean you didn't? Have you ever sang the song?
No, I only read the lyrics today after you said it
to me. Would the knife thing not being a little bit of a... Like, literally it says... at break of day, when that man drove away, I waited. I crossed the street to her house and she opened the door. She stood there laughing. I felt the knife in my hand and she laughed no more. Would that not have given you an indication?
I thought it was sort of a metaphorical knife, you know, in his own heart. I didn't think he was actually... I didn't realise it was a celebration of murder, that song. I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of unrequited, you know, the my, you know, the kind of why did you do it? Why did you break my heart? Nothing about why did I have to go and take it to
the
extreme.
It's a straight up murder.
That's true, yeah.
It's a straight up murder.
So now they're cracking down on that, are they?
Yeah, they're getting rid of that, so they need a new song as well. So they'll have to have some Welsh song, or, you know, Manic Street Preachers or something, you know.
Not bad.
If you talk...
Yeah, if they're playing particularly badly, yeah.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, that'd be great to shout at your own team. Yeah. Ah, if you tolerate this, then your children will be next. Will be next. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
I know, yeah, so there's... Who else is Welsh? I mean...
Why is it at moments like this you can only think of... All I can think of now is Tom Jones. There must be loads of Welsh.
Handbags and glad rags. You know, there you go.
Yeah, that's, well, the Stereophonics did a version of it.
Yeah.
How do you bring that into a rugby context?
I don't know, there's a lot of poor people in Wales.
Although handbags and glad rags, it's a very rugby crowd thing.
It is,
when you think about
yeah.
it, like they're well, you know.
Well to do.
Yeah, they're a better end.
Handbags and the glad rags that we didn't have to work that hard to buy.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There you go, folks. Some of the best bits from during the week on Morning Glory. So since we had been talking about the rugby, I know some people might be listening to this now and the rugby might be over.
Yeah.
Because it depends on when they listen to the podcast. Yeah. But will you... Is your plan as we stand to watch it at all?
No, I don't even know what day it's on. What day is it on?
The weekend.
You see, you don't know either, you bollocks. This is what happens. You always put me on the spot and then I make a tick at myself and you just start laughing. And then that's the end.
That's my job. Yeah. I'm just doing my job.
Well, okay, that's fair enough. That is true as well.
I joke about it, right? I slag you about the rugby or whatever. But I have to say, I have that relationship with rugby where I know the rough guidelines.
But yeah, nobody knows the intricacies.
I mean, but like the stuff that the ref talks about or the commentator talks
about. What's he on about?
I've no idea. I know the general principle of, you know, a try and a penalty and a, you know, and a drop, whatever, a conversion or whatever.
Yeah, handling on the ground or passing forward and all that.
Well, you are allowed to handle on the ground.
Well, there you go then.
But right. Passing forward, no. But all the intricacies, you know what I mean, are the weird parts.
And what I think is gas is they put a microphone on the referee.
Yeah.
So you know what the call is.
Yeah.
But then you hear what he's saying and you don't know what the call is. It's just like, yeah. Hey, okay, Wiggly hat five, over to the line, Jasmine, turquoise, let's go. You're like, what happened? Oh, that's a ball for France. But France aren't playing. You know, that's... It is weird.
Yeah.
Wiggly at five. Let's go. Left-handed shirt tug from the ear. Sideburns. No moustache. Yes. Ruling out turnip. Let's go. That's it. Behave, boys. Behave.
And with that, if it hasn't started already, enjoy the rugby.
Cucumber seven. We will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.